In this podcast, we're going to learn about muscles, the muscles inside you, your heart, every basically command muscle, non-voluntary muscle, that's controlled muscle, that's what we're going to learn about. And essentially, people just know that muscles contract and they apply force. And well, we're going to learn a bit deeper about it. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific. I'm back on my cardiac walk, and you possibly maybe hear in the distance people training late at night at one of these at Emu Plains. There's a story in that, if there is. But we're going to, and as they're kicking the footy and doing various things, they're using muscles, and we're going to go through a two-part process. To, I suppose, the very first part to describe the science of it, and then next part, the teaching of it. And now, the science of it, I have to really go. My brain's a bit shot now of the actual terms. You'll have to go onto the internet. I'll describe the features of a human muscle. The muscle in muscle cells. I think they can. I can't remember if there's a limit to them regrowing and various things like that. And of course, if you're emaciated, that's a food supply for you to eat. So when you're on your last legs, you start dissolving and eating your own muscles. That's if you've got advanced cancer, unfortunately, or if you're malnourished. Now, muscles are really unusual things to do. If you look under the microscope, they're banded. They've got a series of bands across, not in the direction that they pull, so they're basically like if you open up a grapefruit, an orange. I can't eat any grapefruit anymore. That's banned for heart people. It's gone. Grapefruit, no. In the lectures about what you can and can't eat, they just sort of say, and grapefruit, no. Everything else is negotiable. But the little cells inside, the little water pouches inside your lemon or your orange, that thing where it's narrows at the top and it's bulges out the side in the middle and goes down again, is your cell. But in this case, and you would think people would really see it because they cut into muscle all the time. That's what they eat as steak or chicken. You eat your chicken. But obviously by the time you've cooked it, all the proteins have denatured, cross-linked and reformed into something nice and spongy. But looking under a microscope, you'll see that the muscles have got stripes across them. And those stripes, every second stripe, when the muscle contracts, reduces in size. So that's an important thing. Often people think the stripes go up and down the muscle. That's what you'd naturally think as a fibre. But the fibres actually do, but the fibres are all aligned in these stripes, and I wish I could really remember them. So there's a series of processes. There's your tubes which come down. So you've got two surfaces, and out of those, to the top and the bottom surface, like the ceiling and the floor, out of the ceiling and the floor, drop and rise strings. They're tubules, and on those tubules are little billions, and I'm not getting it, billions of filament fiber legs. So this is why I wanted to talk about nanotubes, structure, cytoskeleton. The muscles is a really complex cytoskeleton. So you've got a top and a bottom surface which corresponds to the stripe. But imagine in your room, and coming up to the top and bottom are these tubules with other filaments on them, and the filaments have little, I suppose, feet on them. And in between the ceiling and the roof, stuck between these two tubes, are poles, and these poles are linked up by plumbing to the outer surface of the cell. Life is simple, but it's also not simple on the molecular scale. So what essentially happens is that calcium your nerve comes from your brain or in reflex, your reflex arm, and your nerve is basically a series of batteries, but batteries are giving a supposedly an electric pulse, but electricity is just a feature of it. It's really a chemical chain, a chemical domino effect, and the chemical domino effect will cause calcium to pour out down these tubes into your muscle, go to these central central poles. The central poles will suddenly rotate a bit, and out will pop little rungs, and the legs which are sitting there can suddenly detect the rung, and what they'll do is the actual leg will move up, hit the rung, and be pulled forward. And as it does it, cell food, adenine triphosphate, ATP, will come in and move charge around, so you get this charging effect and charging moving in and out. I can visualize it. I just at the moment can't visualize the names. That I'm sort of can see the names there, but they're a bit fuzzy. You'll have to trust me on that one. Okay, so what happens is brain says go, the rungs open up, and the little arms, little billions of legs move, and each little thing contracts and pulls across. And so if you imagine these legs, and you have the roof and the floor, and the roof and the floor moving, the roof and floor would squish together as these legs, as these things pull up. And this is your process of muscle contraction. So if you imagine a multi-story building with this happening here, I've got you there. This happens everywhere. Each story, which used to be, say, 5 meters, will contract to 3 meters, contracting your muscle. And your muscle will apply a force. So the building may resist, but all these billions of little legs putting a tiny amount of it, microscopic amount of force in, electrostatic force, pull up. So your muscles are an electrostatic motor. And that's exactly how it works. So there's a process here. Now, we have got a conflict here because we have a way of teaching and reinforcing customary knowledge. So we teach people the days of the week, and the days of the week just are. So a lot of things we teach people, students, we don't teach any deeper because it's just are. And in order to get from point A to point B, there's a lot of customary knowledge in science. So one of the parts of the customary knowledge is teaching that muscles just contract. There's no actual mechanism behind it. There's nothing behind it. Going here. Now, I only say this because if you've got a group of people who are used to teaching customary knowledge, they just can't understand the actual true science. These are adults. They can't understand the true scientific knowledge put in. There's sort of this basic resistance. There's a resistance at two levels. There's a resistance at the open level. Also, at the subconscious level, because if this changes, how else changes? It's sort of like a puzzle where you move one piece and then all the other pieces have to move. There's sort of basic insecurity about it. So let's look at this a bit more before we actually look at a classroom activity. This is all great. It knows how to contract. And in fact, muscles only know how to contract. And you have to have a second set of muscles, a second lever system, to actually say, game's off, relax. The muscles have to be relaxed. And you can actually switch, pull them apart. So you have to pull them apart to get to go. And that's what always happens. Now, you can start making a few good points that if you are tensed, you can actually be just burning up energy of two muscle groups fighting against each other. And this is indeed an important thing. Before sport, you have to actually fully extend your muscles, so stretch before sport. And after sport, what happens is that you create micro tears in your muscle, That is, your muscle breaks a bit. And as you're trying to get your muscles to go too much, they hurt a bit. And the micro tears, I think, take 48 hours to really go. So your training regime, as you tell with people, has to match that. You have to look at your muscle tears. So if you don't train up to where you're a little bit sore, you're not tearing your muscles enough, but you've actually got to balance this all up. So that's practical information, and then you can I talk about heart muscles are a bit different. Instead of pushing against bone, they push against liquid. So they're stretched up by liquid being pumped in and pumped out. So it's a two-stage pump. So when one pump fills up one chamber, the next chamber compresses and fills up and pushes out the next chamber along. And so it's a process of two muscles always work against each other. So there's the fundamental aspects and correct nutrition and also rest. Muscles generally require a certain amount of rest to build up, and developing muscle mass and various things along those levels. And I suppose the idea that an artery is a muscle is another important thing to get across. Now for a student demonstration of this process. So essentially you've got to have the fibre wall, and so I suggest sort of a sheet or something which pins to the back of three students, so this is a whole class theme, and essentially you have a fibre wall and three students attached to this sheet, another sheet, and these students have a small length of rope that on pull, they pull the rope and they have to just walk in pulling the rope. So at the end of it all, I've got a dog here, interesting. So at the end of the activity, you have these students pulling in a rope and coming up close to each other. What do we do now? Once they've pulled it, they can only pull in. And you can actually have the rope twist or calcium going forward. Now, of course, this activity, although it's all finessed, is a way of actually reteaching hands-on what's taught in a diagram. Of course, if they're not explained what's in the diagram first and its relevance and linked in, the activity will go straight over their head. It's just a waste of time, so you've got to be able to have sufficient time and resources to go. And you can also have a paper version of this and animations. But it is actually quite incredible then to actually look at these little feet. I think there's YouTube. Myosin is the word. I think myosin and act, something or other, they're the words. Look it up on muscle contraction and to actually see your filament, which is a helix of proteins, and your feet and the ATP coming in and out on your rod. You'll see all this on animations. It's fantastic that supercomputers and basic there's just so much science has been thrown at it. We found this out, what I really think is that we've got a little block going forward because of this customary knowledge and this aim of testing knowledge transfer or information transfer without necessary problem solving skills and relating it to a whole heap of other things. You've got also muscle wasting and other diseases to look at, and you've got to again be sensitive to know if there's any students in your class who have relatives with this relative thing, and you can bring in, say, Stephen Hawking and things like that. So these are general things. This relates to health and general general knowledge. So in this podcast, we've introduced, and it may be a surprise to you if you just live on customary knowledge, the actual process that when you lift something up, you can have a huge, you've got all these billions of nanobots climbing up electrostatic rungs. It's a pretty amazing process. So it's actually electrostatic charge. When you're lifting up a cup of coffee, it's lifting up with electrostatic charge. One of the final things you can do associated with force is arm wrestling, but you'll have to really, this is where the students arm wrestle. That is quite a complex thing to supervise. You can actually, it is possible for students to be mismatched and actually do harm, so you have to understand and look into that. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I've discussed things scientific. Signing off, and in the meantime, keep on doing science and teaching it adventurously. So you may well be restricted in the classroom or school, depending on how it's originated, but if you are in homeschooling, it's an excellent opportunity to develop understanding. Thanks for listening.